this story told about a college theology class, and the professor asked the students sitting in there in the lecture, what is it that we believe about the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary? And one student, who I suspect may have gotten an F for the day, shot back with, well, it's that feast day where we assume that Mary is in heaven. It's like, eh. The teaching is that we believe that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven, but now let me throw this at you. Where do we find that in the scriptures? Is there anything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul's letters, John's letters, Jude's letter, that will say something to the nature of, and on August 15th of AD 75, Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven? It's not in there, is it? So, how do we know? Where do we find this in here? Since like the early first century, the church has been teaching that Mary was assumed body and soul based on what is in here. And it involves being able to read and understand how the Old Testament is interwoven and interconnected with what goes on in the New Testament. They interact and work together. For example, in the very beginning, you've got a passage in Genesis in the third chapter where God is cursing the serpent, Satan, and part of that curse is, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will strike at your head while you strike at their heel. Who's God talking about? Who is going to come that's literally going to strike Satan down? Obvious answer to that is Jesus, by his suffering and death and resurrection from the dead, and the one who bears him is Mary. That's called a prefiguring of, you know, more to come. And like Jesus is prefigured and prophesied about throughout the texts of the Old Testament, there are a number of them where also Mary is being prefigured and prophesied in the Old, and like Jesus, you see it come to fulfillment in the New, and so also with her, you come to see it being fulfilled in the New. For example, first reading, John is sitting there, and he's having this profound, power-filled vision, and he sees suddenly, I see the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant has not been seen with anybody's eyes since 586 BC, just before the Babylonians came in and invaded Jerusalem, burned the temple and burned Jerusalem, he took the Ark of the Covenant and several other items from the inner sanctuary of the temple to Mount Nebo into a cave which God sealed up and has not been revealed since, until John's having this vision. Because if you follow along, if you remember how the first reading went, he's talking about seeing the Ark of the Covenant up in the tabernacle in heaven, and all of a sudden, without hardly even a breath or a moment's pause, and he sees a woman who is clothed with the sun and a crown of 12 stars on her head, clothed with glory. Do you see the connection between the two? Remember the Ark of the Covenant? It's made of what kind of wood?
Hint, go read the book of Exodus.
It is made of acacia wood for a reason. You know, not southern knotty pine that decays in a few years, but acacia wood which basically never rots. And then it's covered inside and out with pure gold. And what really sets it apart, Moses is told to put inside of it three things that prefigure Jesus: the two stone tablets, the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, the golden jar with manna, which prefigures the Eucharist, and Aaron's staff, which strangely bursts into bloom, which is high priest. You have the high priest of high priests, and those three put together are contained within the Ark of the Covenant. And who's going to fulfill that? In herself, I just gave you a hint, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And now, suddenly, after all these centuries have gone by, and John is having this vision, and he sees the Ark of the Covenant, the woman clothed with the sun, crowned with a crown of 12 stars, he's connecting the dots and seeing where the Old Testament Ark of the Covenant has been fulfilled in her, and it has been received into heaven. She's fulfilling another Old Testament one too. Who was the person with queen authority in Old Testament times? Now, we think of the queen of a nation being the king's wife. In ancient Israel, the queen was the king's mother. So John is seeing her crowned with a crown of 12 stars, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles in heaven, and the queen would be arrayed in robes of gold, and here we've got her robed in celestial glory. Again, fulfilling Old Testament figure in this New Testament vision. John has put these things together. He keeps pushing it even farther. There was a time when the Ark of the Covenant had been lost, and they discover it out kind of way out in a distant place, and David starts having it brought back up to Jerusalem he's recreated the tent of meeting where they were supposed to house it in this inner sanctuary, Holy of Holies. And somewhere along the way, one of the priests does something they're not supposed to do. They touched the Ark of the Covenant, and bam, they both went down dead. So it stops at a fellow's house named Obed-Edom and stays there for 3 months. And when nothing bad happened, in fact, the family got very much blessed by having the Ark there, David goes and prepares to bring the Ark the rest of the way, and out of his mouth comes, "Who am I that the Ark of the Lord's presence should come to me?" We heard Elizabeth say what? What did she say? "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And it's not, "Hey, aren't I lucky that the mother of the Lord came to me?" She cries out with this. I won't do that to you here. But literally, she bursts out in an exclamation of pure joy because she recognizes what's happening. And then just to compound it even further, as David is leading the ark up to Jerusalem to go into the tent of meeting, David's not just casually walking along, he's doing what? He is dancing for sheer joy. And what happens in Elizabeth's womb? John the Baptist, the one who will announce his coming, is leaping for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. Again, prefigure, fulfill all along the way. So where do we get this belief that Mary's assumed body and soul into heaven? It's all prefigured Old Testament, and you see its fulfillment happening in the new. She had a special and unique role. She was preserved from all stain of original sin at her conception. We celebrate that on December 8th, and we see its fulfillment coming here. Because unlike Eve, who failed, she remained utterly, completely faithful all the way through, from conception to resurrection to the ascension of her son. Stood with him and followed him, was at his side through the whole suffering and death and burial. And can you imagine the joy when she saw that he was risen from the dead? And now we have this privileged moment of sharing in her ultimate joy, where because of her faithfulness and walking faithfully in the graces of her Son, she is received into heaven to sit at his right hand, which is where the Queen Mother would rightfully sit forever, crowned with the crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, Queen of the Church, Queen of Heaven. Now, why do I bring all this up? What do you think I want you to have from all this? Devotion to the Blessed Mother has gotten weak. And it's time to turn the flame back up, because she is constantly interceding for us here on earth. She is the one we can turn to in good times and in bad, and ask her to intercede for us with her Son for the help that we need while we're still here, that we might have the joy of not only seeing our Savior, but of seeing her at his right hand. Open your hearts and let a real devotion to her. If you don't pray a rosary every day, here's a challenge. Start today. Those meditations on how God worked out our salvation are very powerful, influential growth factors for our faith while we're here on earth, helping us to be ready for that ultimate moment when we see God face to face and answer for our lives.